morning. Time to get up and go to work.
The Power Pack Morning Zoo. Are you kidding me?
Fire!
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Good morning and welcome.
Dan Mickley.
Oh my God, he's from Chicago. That's amazing.
Vince Marotta.
Oh, why, Vinny? Who's better than Vinny?
Sarah Cazell. And Jerry Carlin. It can only be
Sarah. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Mickley and Marotta mornings.
Shout out to Dan Mickley, my boy. Him and Vince. Okay.
Good morning, happy Tuesday, Valley sports fans. Wake up, everybody. We have got a great show on tap for you today.
We do?
We'll let you know about it when we figure it out. This might be the day Frank Vogel learns of his future. Before we get started, you know when Jared Carlin gets jokes kicked out of the sports kebab?
Yeah.
Or when he censors his own jokes, then has to tell them. So somebody hears that.
You can't contain that gold. You got to get it out there somehow.
Yeah, that's a very comedic kind of thing. So anyways, Nikki Glaser went on Howard Stern.
Yes.
And told the jokes that she couldn't tell during the roast. Did you see this?
I did see that.
Oh,
clip,
you did
actually.
See this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to thank all the celebrities in the room for taking time out from cheating on your wives. Hey, it's not your fault she chose to age gracefully.
Ooh! Wait. That didn't make the cut?
That didn't make the cut.
She said,
so great, this event is raising money for CTE. I mean, this is really a serious need. Do you know how many millions of dollars it takes the NFL to murder all the doctors who know the truth?
Yeah, that didn't make the cut.
That one, you can see why that one ended up on the cutting room floor.
She did make a CTE cover-up joke, but it wasn't quite that pointed.
There's also edited... for like not necessarily like she wasn't allowed to do it, like she might have just cut it out for time.
Cut for time, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, no, the NFL joke guy, that NFL joke didn't get cut out for time. That NFL joke certainly did not get cut out for time. Finally, football's a really rough sport. Do you see the damage these guys do to their body just so men can hug each other at Buffalo Wild Wings?
Hope it was worth it.
Hope it was worth it. Jared, how come the jokes you kick out are never that good?
I don't get paid the same.
Actually, your jokes that you kick out are they tend to be really good because they tend to be really dirty.
They're either I have a lot of I can only go so far on the air here with the content of my jokes.
Very true.
So sometimes you think of a perfect punchline and you just know you just can't do it. But I have to let you guys know at least so that someone can enjoy it. And you can know that at least I can be funny if not given any guidelines.
To the contrary, I think it is absolutely wonderful that we work for a broadcast company that has high standards. Not everyone does.
That is true. We've worked for those companies in the past.
We have. It is truly Animal House. All right, we got a lot of stuff to get in today. Start the show, Jared.
The Splash.
Splash.
The stories making waves in the sports world.
The Splash.
Animal coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
D-backs back at it today in Cincinnati, starting a three-game series against the Reds at Great American Ballpark. D-backs have lost their last four series. They come into today's game at 15-20, fourth place in the National League West. The Reds reeling themselves 16-18. They've lost four straight. It's the first meeting between the two teams this season. And do we know, is Zach Gallen look like he's going to get that start?
He's listed.
I'm going to trust it when he throws the first pitch at the bottom of the first inning.
We're just going to give him another day.
He just needs a little bit more rest.
He needs a little more.
If he does get the start, it'll come 12 days after he last started in Seattle and left after five innings because of hamstring tightness. Frankie Montas, the right-hander, will go for the Reds. That game gets underway at 3:40. Pre-game coverage starts at 3 here on Arizona Sports on 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app. To veer off real quickly, Jarrett, a programming note. Did Gambo take a shot at me again?
I haven't listened yet. I'll have to go through.
Did he really?
You know, because
I did not go down
right.
That
neither
road
one
yesterday.
Of you did it yesterday, so I thought it was over with. But yeah. I'll tell you during the break, or I'll tell you right now. I'll go listen to it.
Well, I wanted to know. I should have asked you before I did the splash because the
because you want to make fun of him.
The time if he did it again, I have a line that I'd like to say.
Just do it.
Just do it. Just say it.
Pre-game coverage starts at 3 here on Arizona Sports, meaning you're only subjected to John Gambadoro for an hour today. Last night in the NBA, the Knicks rallied from 9 down in the fourth quarter and took advantage of some iffy calls, scored a 121-117 game one win over the Indiana Pacers. Jalen Brunson scored 21 of his 43 points in the fourth quarter for the Knicks. Brunson becomes just the fourth player in NBA history to score 40 or more in 4 consecutive playoff games, joining Jerry West, Bernard King, and Michael Jordan. In the nightcap, the Minnesota Timberwolves absolutely smothered the Denver Nuggets 106-80 to take a 2-0 series lead over the defending champions. Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns each had 27 for the Wolves, who were without Rudy Gobert. They held Denver to 34.9% shooting and their lowest point total in a home game, in any home game in Denver since 2015. That was an absolute dismantling of a basketball team last night.
It was unbelievable, especially with Rudy Gobert leaving to attend the birth of his first son.
Mm-hmm.
And before the game, I thought to myself, oh no, what a hornet's nest if Denver wins this game and wins the series. And it became a nothing story.
Yeah, and it was clear, not from the very start, but toward the end of the first quarter, you're like, uh-oh, Minnesota just... They are playing nearly perfect basketball.
They're playing defense out of their minds.
It's unbelievable.
It really is. Yeah, it really, really is.
Tonight, the Boston Celtics host the Cleveland Cavaliers in game one of their Eastern Conference semifinal at TD Garden in Boston. The Celtics really only playing tonight because Jimmy Butler wasn't healthy. Let's face it.
Yeah.
That game tips off at 4 o'clock on TNT. Then it's game one in Oklahoma City. The Thunder taking on the Mavericks in their Western semifinal. 6:30 tip-off, and that'll be the back half of the doubleheader on TNT. Speaking of the Mavs, they've signed head coach Jason Kidd to a multi-year contract extension to remain with the team. Kidd was hired in 2021, took the Mavs to the Western Conference Finals in his first season before missing the playoffs in 2023. This year, the fifth seed, they went 50-32, and they're in the conference semifinals again. Spurs phenom Victor Wembanyama named the NBA's Rookie of the Year on Monday, a unanimous choice of the 99 voters. He beat out Oklahoma City's Chet Holmgren, who was one vote away from being a unanimous second-place choice. Charlotte's Brandon Miller finished third. Wembanyama averaged 21.4 points, 10.6 rebounds per game for San Antonio. First unanimous winner since Karl Anthony Towns of Minnesota in 2016. And the third Spurs player ever to win it. The first two were pretty good. David Robinson and Tim Duncan. The NFL, a couple quick notes. Former Raiders, three-time Pro Bowl offensive lineman and Corona del Sol high school product, Andres Pete, signing with the New Orleans Saints. Veteran, maybe I got that reversed. He was with the Saints, he's signing with the Raiders. Veteran running back Rashad Penny hooking on with the Carolina Panthers. In the NHL, Boston dominated Florida 5-1 in game one of their Eastern Conference semifinal series. 5 different Bruins scored, and goalie Jeremy Swayman had 38 saves for the Bees. And Phoenix Mercury opened up their WNBA preseason schedule tonight in Seattle against the Storm. The team featuring former Mercury guard Skylar Diggins-Smith. Will there be bad blood in the preseason? That game gets rolling at 7 o'clock. The Mercury have one home preseason game on Friday at Footprint Center against LA, and then the regular season begins a week from tonight in Las Vegas against the league champion Aces. There you go. There is your splash.
All right, to answer your question, he did not call us out directly,
yeah,
but he did reference something that we do on the show that references him. Would you like to hear his thing right
sure.
now?
Sure. Yes, please. Absolutely.
Hey, it's Gambo. The Diamondbacks had an offensive outburst on Sunday against the Padres. Will that carry over into game one against the Reds? George Foster, Jack Billingham, Dave Concepcion, Joe Morgan. We'll get you ready for the game starting at 2 on today's Burns and Gambo show.
This is good.
Well done.
We're getting engagement. I like this.
Now, Grant, that
listen, I know, I mean, they should fire back at us. We've been firing at both those shows for 2 years.
Yeah, longer than that. Let's be honest.
That's fantastic.
And yes, obviously, the dueling gambos is something that he already does that we were, but the way he did it just there, especially doing George Foster as the first one, made me think.
But he's got to know you end with Foster.
Yeah,
you
get,
oh, that's
no
true.
Yeah,
that's
you the do, you have to end with George Foster.
Come on, he's not even getting his own bit right.
It's a 3-game series. He's got time.
There's your splash for Tuesday, May 7th. Coming up, is today the day we get some news on anything on Frank Vogel's future with the Phoenix Suns? It's Pickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, everybody, it's Bernsy. Considering which teams are left in the NBA postseason, we have to ask ourselves, is the window to contend closing faster than we thought in Phoenix? It's the Bernsy and Gambo Show, and it starts at straight up 2 o'clock.
Maybe a little. I think just because of the innuendo that was involved, but I credit Matt and James in terms of not just reacting to what obviously was a disappointing result in getting swept out, and I've been since then talking to people around the league. You know, there's two schools of thought. One of them is, yeah, Frank's not the right fit for this group. And the other is, where you are right now, you need some continuity. You need to build from here.
Rick Bucher from Fox Sports NBA analyst. He joined us yesterday on Bickley and Marotta Mornings on whether or not he's a little bit surprised that Frank Vogel is still the head coach of the Suns. And the further we get away, Bick, from the end of the playoffs for the Suns, I can't even call it a run because it was only 4 games, but since they're eliminated, nation, I think many people on Planet Orange, to use that term, figured this would be a done deal by now, that Frank Vogel was going to get fired by maybe Tuesday or Wednesday at the latest of last week. The longer this drags on, the more it indicates to me that the Suns are, you know, their cooling off period is doing just that. They're cooling off. And it looks like they're going to run this back.
Listen, and I Gambo reported this right after the night that the Suns lost, and he probably got it right from Matt about this cooling off period. And I remember in real time going, "That's a good idea," because everybody is pissed. I mean, everybody, to the point where none of us could think clearly. I'm not sure I still can. So I do like the idea that there has been this kind of like, okay, let's just chill for a bit and gather around this in a little bit. If that is indeed what has happened, I do agree with you that now that Frank Vogel has gotten through the weekend, logic would tell you it's closer to him keeping his job. The question becomes is, how do they reconcile all of the looseness and the lack of focus and the disrespect that we've read about and seen with our own eyes? How do you reconcile that? We're going to get into this all. This is a huge story, a huge topic. We might have some sort of resolution today, but it's interesting because they're not blind to what happened.
No, but they're also not blind to what's happening or what might be available on the coaching front. And you know, last Friday on the show, late in the show, we talked about, hey, let's see what happens with the LA Clippers in that series against Dallas. What do they do? What does it mean for the future of Ty Lue? Well, Dallas wins that series. The Clippers are a team at a crossroads as well, with quote unquote a super team built that keeps falling short in the playoffs. What does that mean for the head coach of the Clippers, Ty Lue, who's not locked up to a long-term deal right now? Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN on that.
I don't believe it's realistic based on this. Ty Lue still has a year left on his contract, and the Clippers are determined to do a long-term deal with Ty Lue, I'm told. You know, they want him to be their coach for a very long time. And so, listen, that's a conversation that will happen after the playoffs are over. But they love the job he did this season. They love the job that he's done there. This is an organization that, by all indications, however this series ends up, wants to re-sign Paul George, James Harden, try to improve that roster around those two, of course, and Kawhi Leonard.
I'm not reporting anything, but this very much could influence the Phoenix Suns' thinking.
We know they had interest in Ty Lue at the beginning of their coaching search process last year. It wasn't possible then. If it's not possible now, they might just say Frank Vogel's better than what's out there. And what's out there? Mike Budenholzer, a guy who's got a ring. Yes. J.J. Redick is getting a lot of talk. I don't know if the Phoenix Suns are the situation for J.J. Redick to come in and get his feet wet from a coaching standpoint. I think he's a fascinating guy, and it might work out famously. And apparently the Lakers are kicking the tires on that front. But maybe the Suns are just thinking, what else is out there?
Yeah.
And maybe we can, now that this is out in the open and we see the warts, now we can apply the medication to the warts moving forward in year two.
Yeah. Yes. I think that in theory, that's accurate. But again, if Frank Vogel didn't have the respect and didn't have and could not hold some of these guys accountable this year, how are we going to how are they going to convince themselves? How will fans buy it? I think there's some hurdles they're going to have to get over. There's going to have to be some explaining to do. And again, if this regime spent the weekend hashing this out with players, and I'm hoping those players included Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, I really do hope there has been communication, because without that piece, I don't know how you could move on. Then I think you're gonna have to find a way to fill those gaps. I find it somewhat ludicrous, the idea that you can bring back the whole thing and hope for a markedly different result. Unless in the midst of all these conversations, Matt Ishbia has realized the problem is me. Not me individually, but the roster that we put on the floor. If they diagnosed this issue and said, okay, the reason there was no accountability, the reason the belief and the focus wavered is because they all knew that this was a flawed deal. I don't know if I'd buy it, but you could probably sell it.
Yes, but then the question for me bleeds into, are those flaws, can they overcome those flaws? Because the flaws are still there, and they're not permanent.
Yeah.
But they have put the Suns certainly in a predicament from a roster standpoint.
Then you have to ask yourself this, too. All the guys that the Suns shipped out at the trade deadline to make room for Royce O'Neal, would it have been better to hang on to those guys and put them in a different system? Would it have been better to try to build out a team schematically in a different manner? Because that has to happen.
Yeah, but I think it's a fair question. But going back and rewinding, you know, in the system we saw those players in, were you torn up that any of them were dealt at the deadline?
No, I wasn't. No. I applauded the move.
Yeah.
But again, it's if we want to say that the Suns 6-7 players were victimized by a bad offensive system, then wouldn't that apply to everybody on the team? I don't know.
I mean, there are a couple players that they did ship off now that you're wondering, okay, when you see what they were lacking defensively in the Minnesota series and their lack of long, versatile, athletic wings was really exploited, could a Chimezie Metu have helped? Could a Kata Bates-Diop help? And again, I was like the president of the Kata Bates-Diop optimism club at the beginning of the year. I thought he would be the fifth member of the starting lineup because of his defensive versatility. Couldn't get on the floor. And all of those guys struggled offensively when they were given opportunities. So
I thought Nasir Little was going to be a great addition to this team, and he didn't get a look until game four of the playoffs.
Yeah, and even at that point, that maneuver seemed desperate.
Yep.
And I don't even know if it was fair to Nasir Little. Yes, you're a professional. You got to stay prepared to play in any situation. But, oh, by the way, you haven't played in a couple months. Here, our backs are against the wall. See if you can make a difference for us.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. So I do think that if the tides were turning, it does feel like they're turning in Frank Vogel's favor. And I cannot wait to hear why. You know, because if you are going to run it all back, there's going to have to be some clarity, right? Some explanation. Somebody's going to have to stand up and tell everybody why this thing flamed.
Unless they said that's what our exit press conference was. We told you everything. We said we weren't disappoint. You know, it wasn't a failure. We just needed more time.
We won 49 games. What do you want from us?
It's only the fourth time in the last 15 years, you jerks.
You humps.
What are you, a bunch of humps? Don't you look at the record?
You text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, we'll focus on the NBA team still playing, and one in particular. My goodness, what's in the water in Minneapolis, Minnesota? That and more next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
The Timberwolves have come into Denver and stunned the defending champs, winning twice on their home floor. The horn sounds here at Ball Arena, and the Wolves lead the Nuggets 2-0.
That's the final call at KFan in Minneapolis. 106-80, the final score in Game 2, where not only the Timberwolves played good basketball, they were exemplary on the defensive side. But you want to talk about breaking, mentally breaking a basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened last night. That was shades of Nikola Jokic losing his ever-loving mind in the late stages of the 2021 series against the Suns. I was joking with a friend last night. I was like, Jokic has got to be so frustrated. He's going to try to kill Cameron Payne again tonight. What the Minnesota Timberwolves are doing is unbelievable. I mean, believe it, because it's happening, and it's 6 games old now through this playoffs. But man, they are dialed in.
Yeah, they're a team that just feels like they have got the right vibe and the right mojo and the right superstar who's kind of making it all happen. I said this at the start of the show today, when the news came down yesterday that Rudy Gobert was going to miss Game 2 to attend the birth of his first son, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I cannot believe the danger in this story, because all that momentum that the Timberwolves had, if you go and you lose to Denver in Game 2, which a lot of people thought Denver was going to clap back anyways.
Yes.
Now without Rudy Gobert, okay, the Nuggets are definitely going to roll this thing. Are they going to look back, and is Rudy going to take some heat for that? Now, I would never blame an athlete in a million years for leaving your workplace to attend the birth of your child. I get the people who claim, but this is bigger than just his career. Hundreds of thousands of people rely on this for their happiness. I get all that. But from my standpoint, I thought this had the potential to become a big deal around this basketball team, and it did for exactly the opposite reason. They spanked them even harder without Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, they took away the best defensive player on a great defensive team and played maybe the best defense we've seen in a single game in the playoffs in 30 years.
And the way the Nuggets did not respond to it, how soft they were, how bothered they were by all of it.
I was thinking about you last night, and I'm not poking at you when I say this, but remember our conversation with Al McCoy during the Suns Timberwolves series,
and Al famously
said, "Stop crying."
Mm-hmm.
The Nuggets took it to a different level last night.
They did.
They made the Suns look like they were still dialed in that series.
Stop crying.
They completely fell apart.
Oh, my goodness. Look,
Jamal Murray was the ringleader, by the way. He was awful last night in every way.
Jamal Murray is a great player in the clutch, but man, after last night, he is soft. Seriously, I mean, to react the way he did. Again, when you're a basketball player and you're confronted with in-your-chest kind of defense and that's how you react,
well,
that's soft.
It's one thing to go 3-for-18 or whatever he was from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very critical of Bradley Beal for what he put out there in Game 4 against the Suns. He mm-hmm. was struggling, he was frustrated, and he let everybody in the arena and watching at home know how frustrated he was with his body language. Jamal Murray took it to a different level.
Yep.
I mean, throwing things on the court from the bench on 2 different occasions?
Yeah. And
he's probably not going to be there for Game 3.
I would think, now listen, I was thinking about this a lot last night, because you throw a heating pad on the floor and it ends up in the lane, that could really jack somebody up.
Yes.
That could if somebody lands on that, and somebody could wrench a knee. all sorts of bad things. So I agree with you. I think he needs to sit for a game. You just can't act like that. They just lost their ever-loving minds. And so, you know what? So I took – and I know a lot of Suns fans, and we're going to get into this a little bit later. The feeling, the consolation prize of watching this Timberwolves team roll through another opponent. Now, but for me, there was a moment last night – and you can see the still picture. It's everywhere online. I believe it was 61-37 at the time, and Anthony Edwards was doing a Hulk pose in front of the Denver fans, and the Denver fans were all, they all had their arms crossed. They all had their stank face on.
Yeah.
They're all looking at him. It's a fantastic picture. And I thought to myself, there you go. That's Denver's 35-4 moment.
Yeah, that was it.
So the perilous nature of the NBA playoffs, it can bite everybody, yeah. Not just us.
Here was Michael Malone, the head coach of the Nuggets, about the mood in the locker room.
You know, it was a very, very quiet locker room. And, you know, you can take that many different ways. I'm taking it as our guys are disappointed in our performance tonight, all the way across the board, you know, from myself all the way down to player number 18. We got outcoached, we got outplayed, and you can feel sorry for yourself, or you can do whatever you can to try to be better come game three. And that's my focus, is rallying these guys to continue to fight. No one said it was going to be easy. And right now we understand that.
And look, Michael Malone taking some accountability, but he was the guy that started the "Hey, we're losing our minds" trend. How Michael Malone did not receive a technical for approaching Mark Davis? And, look, I know he was frustrated. I thought it was an offensive foul on Karl Anthony Towns. Maybe on two occasions. The second one, I mean, he just bowled over Jamal Murray. And you shouldn't be penalized for just being smaller as a defender in that scenario. Comes down, leads to a foul. They call on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. But when Michael Malone got in the face of Mark Davis, and you could read lips, he wasn't saying nice words. Reggie Miller said on the telecast he might get ejected. He didn't even get a technical.
I couldn't believe that.
And that just trickled down to the rest of the team for the rest of the game.
Right. They all just lost their minds. And so, look, I do agree with Brian Windhorst that I would not close the book on the series yet, only out of deference to a team that won the championship last year and a team in Minnesota that hasn't had any real adversity yet. And who knows how they're going to deal with this level of prosperity. Now, I'm not giving them much shot to do it, but until they get down 0-3, I'm not closing the book on them yet. But that being said, what we're watching in Minnesota is worthy of looking at this and going, okay, is this going to be an issue? Is this going to be now one of the new trendsetters in the Western Conference? It's amazing to me how little I feared that team at the end of the regular season.
We were so happy the Suns got that draw.
Timberwolves fans themselves are like, oh, this could not have worked out worse for us.
And now they've just rolled 6-0 since.
And I don't know.
Sportsman.
I mean, we always talk about, when we talked about it on the Suns front, can they flip the switch in the postseason? I don't know if I've ever seen a switch more definitively flipped by an NBA team ever.
I mean, they were good all year, though.
They were
good all year, and we never believed in them. And then when Karl Anthony Towns got hurt, all of us said, done. Here comes the slide. In fact, we were saying, can the Suns catch the Timberwolves?
Yeah.
You know, can they pass them for fifth or fourth or third? Because, boy, oh boy.
Yeah. No, listen, I agree with all that. It's really a remarkable twist. The careful what you wish for, we have lived that any number of different ways and times in the past couple of months. And this is one of them.
But I will say this, too. And again, the credit starts with Minnesota. Denver's performance and response last night was so far away what you would expect from the defending NBA champions. That has been together for... that they did not look like a team that was together in any way last night. I think it's over. The Timberwolves look unbeatable to me right now by any team in the Western Conference.
Listen, they do look that way. I do, but they've got so little experience at this that we'll see if they can keep their focus.
Yes, that's going to be a big question.
Yep.
Moving back to Minneapolis, up 2-0. Coming up next, D-backs starting to get a little bit healthier for their series in Cincinnati. Can they turn this thing around? We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
it's Luke. The Diamondbacks are on to Cincinnati. So can they take Sunday's offensive outburst with them? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
I think trusting that that's who we are. It's not about trying harder or trying to do more or put any extra pressure on ourselves, but... you know, in the same sense, there needs to be a sense of urgency. And you know, I think that it comes by trusting ourselves and keeping the confidence high.
It's Christian Walker, the Arizona Diamondbacks. That was after Sunday's game, an offensive breakout. The D-backs won the finale of that series against the Padres 11-4. But that's been one of the stories of the first 35 games for the Diamondbacks. And we'll start with that story. And that is the inconsistent offense. It's either lights out, having these big, double-digit outburst games, or, like the first two games of that series, or really the last game against the Dodgers and the first two against the Padres, where they could generate nothing with the bats in their hands. There's got to be some sort of happy medium. And you've got individuals that Christian Walker's kind of leading the hit parade right now. He's on one of those heaters. He's a very streaky offensive player, but they got to count on some other guys to show up at the plate. And it starts with Corbin Carroll.
It does. It really does. And not to single him out, because I think the point what you're saying is, there's a level of optimism we can all embrace about getting players back, particularly pitchers who have been injured. Mm-hmm. So we can all rally around the idea this team suffered a lot of bad luck, bad juju early on. But that doesn't absolve the offense. And when I look at Corbin Carroll, there's other guys. Look, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has got to be more consistent. Gabriel Moreno's got to be better.
Suarez has been a big disappointment to this point offensively.
Yes, totally agree. Those three guys in particular need to bring some thump to this lineup. But it starts with Corbin Carroll, because I get back to that word chaos. That I don't think we've used the word chaos once this year when it comes to the Diamondbacks offense. Feast or famine with them.
Yeah.
There's been no chaos. It's either been some rare double-digit game or nothing.
It's been chaos when the runners don't know where they're doing on the base.
Yeah, well, there's that.
That kind of chaos.
Yeah, there has been that kind of chaos. Corbin Carroll, when he's right, he kind of brings that element to the offense. You know, just by being in the lineup, by just being that kind of a pest, if you will. So he needs to get going. He's not the only guy, but he needs to get going. And I think a lot of his struggles early on were kind of the team was able to get by them. Ketel Marte's been, for the most part, been very, very good this year. His struggles are now being reflected in this offense fairly seriously. Yeah. So he's got to get it going. As the reigning NL Rookie of the Year, he's got to get it going.
Yeah, ESPN.com had a piece about expectations going into the season for Major League Baseball teams and where they are, and it's very analytics-based as well. But they have the Diamondbacks 17th on the list, and they said expected continued improvement so far, October hangover. And Doolittle writes, the thinking around Arizona entering the season that it would get even better even after a surprise pennant simply because of how many ascending players are on the roster. Instead, it's been veterans such as Ketel Marte, Christian Walker, and Jock Peterson who have kept the bottom from falling out. Most troubling has been the head-scratching start from budding franchise star Corbin Carroll, who ranks 27th on the Diamondbacks in this metric they're talking about. Oof. Carroll's power bat has been non-existent, and he hasn't got on base enough to make use of his elite speed. The Diamondbacks' potential rise is tied to Carroll's trajectory. Sorry to put all the pressure on you, Corbin, with the expectations that you do have, but that's fact. You can't have Corbin Carroll miring in the 8-hole in this lineup much longer.
No.
He's got to be a table setter. He's got to be a chaos starter at the beginning, especially if the power is deserting him. Mm-hmm. You got to find a way to get on base and use his speed.
How many times last year was he able to generate instant run production by either an infield single or a walk and then steal second, steal third, and now suddenly the defense is they're on their heels. And that's what this team is missing. So, yeah, I, like you said, not to put too much pressure on you, Corbin, but let's go!
And credit to Jake McCarthy, who's gotten an opportunity with Alec Thomas being on the shelf. And I think
you know, Jake was one of those guys that I think took a step back last year. If you go back to 2022, he was one of their better offensive players. Last year was a step back for him. He got hurt, wasn't available for the playoff run. We know that. But he's made the most of that opportunity right now, and he's picked up some of the slack offensively. Now, and I know people will say, you've gone this far talking about the Diamondbacks without talking about injuries. It's been a factor, but it can't be the number one factor, not for a National League championship team. Those are the teams that overcome things like that. Right. And the 2023 Diamondbacks did overcome things like that. Paul Sewald has not pitched yet for the Diamondbacks this year. He has not been injured very often, if at all, in his major league career. He's just about ready to come back. He's on the trip, hasn't been activated yet, will happen very soon. But on Sunday, he talked about the momentum of getting some players back and what that could mean for the D-backs.
I think it's huge getting Ryan back, getting me back, getting Alec back this week. I think we'll probably get a little bit of momentum. You know, when you put three of your 26 best players in the organization back on the roster, that'll definitely help. So we have to play better all together, you know. That's not Ryan, that's not me, that's not AT's job to try and, you know, get us back. But at some point, you know, just making sure that everyone knows, like, there's somebody behind me that's, you know, very capable as well. Hopefully we'll kind of bring us together and kind of go up for a winning streak.
Yeah, and look, Paul Sewald is right. Mm-hmm. Getting those players back is going to help. Still don't have Geraldo Perdomo, still don't have Merrill Kelly or Eduardo Rodriguez, and hopefully they'll be back soon. But a lot of the thinking is, before you can elevate, you have to hit rock bottom. Mm-hmm. And that goes, you know, in and out of sports. I think Saturday so far was rock bottom. They got embarrassed by the Padres. They embarrassed themselves early in that game, getting picked off twice in the first inning of that game, kind of setting the tone.
Mm-hmm.
Their first sample after that was they responded. They played a really good game on Sunday. So maybe that rock bottom feeling is permeating throughout that clubhouse, well, and they can turn it around.
And Corbin Carroll hit the ball hard on Sunday consistently, so people are taking solace in that. Here's the thing that you have to factor, because the thing that I've always been afraid of is losing that incredible love affair this team had with its fan base at the end of last year. In fact, remember Zach Gallen wrote that piece in the Players Tribune? Basically said that was the coolest thing about this season. That seeing how happy we made fans and seeing what we did to that ballpark. And in that thing, in that Players Tribune, I remember he wrote, "This is a new era of Diamondbacks baseball." Okay. You come out the way that this season has gone so far, you would hate to chip away at that feeling that, oh, here we go again. One good year, one hit wonder. Even if it's not, even if a lot of it can be explained away by injury, it doesn't matter.
Over the course
of it, still has the same effect.
A long season and a long summer, you do not want the fan base to fall into indifference.
No.
A lot of them have already.
And that's
the nature of the fickle Arizona sports fan, indeed, because they've been down this road before. And let's face it, historically, the Diamondbacks, when they come back from a playoff run, you know, they have not followed that up throughout the franchise's history.
And
I thought this team was going to be different. Still has a chance to be different.
Yeah, I mean, the resources they put into making sure that they didn't fall off was as good as a commitment as you could have asked from an ownership group.
And that's it, though. I mean, we haven't seen Eduardo Rodriguez yet. Jordan Montgomery has been okay. We've only seen him a little.
Mm-hmm.
Gino Suarez has two home runs this season, sitting like 220.
We've gotten the strikeouts from Gino. We haven't gotten the power.
Yeah.
We were promised both.
So on paper, everything looks great, but we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite youth sports coach who represents the best in sportsmanship and competition? If so, text the word coach to 620-620. And they'll have a chance to win a $500 gift card. That's coach to 620-620. Coming up next. All right, Suns fans. Does Minnesota's domination so far in the playoffs make you feel better about the way things ended for the Suns? We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Marotta mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.